Views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, we're back, and it's Thursday, and we're rolling along, as it were, end of another day. And third Thursday of the month means it's Admiral Cooper night, so we get to spend some time with one of the truly most remarkable people I've ever met. He's been bringing not only reality to all of us for, how many, 35 years? How many years, Shark Hunters?
40 years. It started February 2nd, 1983.
Wow. Well, this is, you've made a contribution that few could even imagine. And I mean that because we don't have any right to know our past. They've taken that away from us. They create our past and they create our future. It's all about them.
The colorful fiction in the past, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, when you think about, seriously, the global elite that's running the world now, and it amazes me that people cannot get a grasp or a grip on where they are, where they've been taken, and where they're going, which is straight down.
Unfortunately, the sheeple, as I like to call them.
They're out of the game, folks. They're not.
Yeah,
they're not.
Republican or Democrat, it really doesn't matter. They just believe what they're told. Well, it has to be true because it was on MSNBC, or CNN, or whatever they say, they believe. No, nobody looks to verify the story themselves.
It's all reactive. All they do is look at something, react, process, and file.
Mm-hmm.
There's no intellectual curiosity there. Oh, there are, you people listening are different. You're the best of the best, and you care.
That's why they're tuning in to us.
That's right. But 40 years of actually giving us our birthright, which is the simple basic knowledge of what has been done to us, where we've been, and where we're going. Okay. 40 years. Wow. I know of no one who's made that kind of a sacrifice. Admiral Cooper is not living on a $500 million yacht. He is working very hard, not unlike yours truly. There's no money flowing through his faucet when he turns the water on. It doesn't work that way.
I'm living on Social Security. My son, my special needs son, and my wife and I, we're living on Social Security. Nobody gets any money from Shark Hunters. It all goes back in to keep Shark Hunters rolling. You know, some people think, I'm living on a multi-billion dollar yacht, and that would sure be nice. However, I don't even have a rowboat.
No. But you have
my Rolls Royce that people think I have, as you know, is my 2001 GMC pickup with 288,000 miles on it. Just had an oil change of it.
You didn't sell Big Red, did you?
No. I just need a radiator for it, and I'm saving up to get a radiator.
Got it.
It runs fine. No. if I drive it like some old lady, mm-hmm. sorry for the comparison there, ladies, but if I drive it like some old lady, it works fine. But if I stand on it like you, and you drive it like you're supposed to drive a Corvette, boy, that temperature needle goes right to the top and stays there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've had that car since the year 2000 when I got a call from my doctor saying, hey, your test came back, Mr. Cooper, and I was wrong. You don't have cancer after all.
He sounds disappointed. Was he disappointed?
I don't know. I just thanked him, and I'm just thanking God several times a day.
Well,
so
you've got a lot of work to do. You know, you have earned not money, but the most important currency of all. You've earned the love and respect of people all around the world, people who used to be fighting against each other in a life and death struggle in many cases, who have now gotten past all of that geopolitical chicanery, and they understand that we're all people on this planet, and unless we work together, we have no chance. And you've given them material upon which to stand.
Divide and conquer is the common denominator of the people in charge.
Exactly. Look on the homepage. You'll see on the left of the bottom slide, it's a slideshow. We call it the bottom splash. And we've got a lot of interesting memes and little historical notes. Look on the left of that, and you'll see the Jeff Rentz program. It's a little box. Tonight's guest, click here. Please do that, and you'll see Admiral Cooper. And under that, you'll see Hidden Secrets of World War II, Volume 6. I want you to pull that up. It's a thumbnail gallery of the pictures we're going to look at tonight. There are many, many more. This is Volume 6 in a series of, without question, the most unique and remarkable books of history that you'll probably come across. This is a real deal. So, well done.
And as you know, I don't put anything in writing unless I can back it up. Or if something is really impressive, I put it in and I'll say that we're looking into it. It hasn't been proven yet, but those comments are few and far between. Everything else I put down, I've researched it. Most of the pictures you're looking at, I took them.
Yes.
These didn't come out of somebody else's research.
No, it came out of Harry's Instamatic.
Yeah.
Or was that
no
a
joke? I don't use any fancy cameras. I got a cheap $100-something camera that I bought at Walmart like 15 years ago, and that's what I take all the pictures with.
What were the little box cameras we used to have as kids? Brownies?
The Brownies. What'd they call them? The Brownies.
Yeah.
I had one too. Jeez, you know, it was just a box with a lens in the front and a viewer on the top that had a periscope or a prism in it, and you looked down at it and you could see straight ahead. It was nothing but a box with a lens, and you rolled the film through it.
And a big click button on the top right, as I remember.
Yeah, right. It was a little metal lever that stuck out.
Hmm. Yeah,
and
it's crazy
pull it
stuff.
Down and you're so you couldn't do any sneaky filming with that.
No Photoshop. No computers.
No.
Not back then.
So, all right. As a kid, you didn't have a cell phone or nothing. You had one black telephone that sat on a table at the bottom of the stairs going up to the second floor of your house. And it didn't have a coil cord. It had a straight cord. It didn't have a bunch of buttons. It didn't even have a dial. You just pick up the phone, and some lady says, "Number, please." And if you wanted to call,
you heard that? I never got a chance to hear that. You actually heard an operator on the other end?
I'm a lot older than you.
How fun.
Yeah, an operator on the other end. And I lived in Chicago, and if we wanted to call somebody in New York, for instance, you couldn't pick up the phone and just call somebody in New York. You had to talk to a long-distance operator. You get the first operator, then tell her you want a long distance, so they click you over to a long-distance operator. You tell her what number you want, and then you hang up, and you wait maybe 2 hours, and then your phone rings, and the lady says, "I've got your call to New York." Oh, yeah, and it costs a fortune.
Oh, they used to have high long-distance rates. I've started a couple of multi-level marketing companies, much to my shame, but early on they were okay, and they gave people a chance to earn money on services that everybody needed. One of them was a long-distance reduction in rates, MLM service. You could get cheaper long-distance, and that was kind of fun. Another one was a gold company. But I got to learn then how it was, and when we got to a flat rate long distance on your plan, that was quite a step forward. Now it's, what, $20 unlimited? I don't know what it is. It's included in your bill.
I don't know. We just got some new phones the other day because, you got planned obsolescence. So the phone for my son, for me, for my wife, and another little MiFi. Because we don't have.
You mean all your cell phones? You replaced all your cell phones?
Oh. Yeah, because they were old and starting to fade. My wife's phone wasn't working right, so we got all done. I had to write them a check for $500 and something for the taxes on what we ordered. We're paying the rest off $30-$40 a month with the phone bill, but this was just tax, $500 and something tax.
Well, don't be surprised if they begin to tax oxygen that you breathe under the guise of climate change. Don't be surprised.
Climate change, that's just a farce. They used to call it global warming until they couldn't sell that to anybody. So then they've got this nebulous term, climate change. Climate's always changing, but, according to Al Gore, his comments, 20 years ago, I should be able to put a dock out in back of my house here because the sea is supposed to raise. I'm 15 miles inland, but by now I'm supposed to have seafront property for my $15 million yacht. But it's still just
true.
A dry out front.
Right. I know. Okay. Let's tell our friends about Volume 6. Oh, before we do that, how many more volumes do you project just off the top of your head?
I don't know. When I first started with Volume 1, I was really surprised at how much I had going into Volume 1, and then, comes Volume 2. All in all, I don't know how many are just for the hidden secrets part, also on the U-boat history and a little bit on the Luftwaffe history, we've got almost about 700 articles, which turn into 700 chapters. So you figure it out, 12 chapters, 13, 14 chapters in a book. You do the math. I'll be at this for a while.
And are these
what else
all?
Am I going to do?
No.
I don't want to play golf.
Well, I'm so glad you knocked off the cocaine. That was a big step.
I just had to go through a bunch of questions with a nurse because I'm having a minor procedure done next week. And she got to the drug part. Do you do this drug? No. Do you do that drug? No. And I said, I'll make it easy for you. I've never done any drugs at all of any kind, so put no in everything there.
That's funny. All true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And quite honestly, Jeff, you've known me for a long time. The reason I didn't do drugs, maybe it's because I was a little afraid of what would happen, but mostly because I'm such an arrogant son of a bitch. I figured there's nothing in this world going to make me any better than I am. So why rock the boat?
The other question that has to be answered is, do you or do you not want to work? Do you want to achieve your goals, your dreams? Do you want to reward the people who trust you? And you can't let anything get in the way of your work. That's the way I feel about it. People that they rely on this. So
as you know, as we've been back and forth on emails today, I've been up since 3 this morning, and it's now 9:20.
Right.
So when this is done, I'm going to go to bed for a good 6 hours.
Good. Well, you were up at 3. That's midnight my time.
Yeah.
I finally knocked it off at. Would have been 3:30 my time, 6:30 your time.
Right.
A.M. Crazy.
Yeah, you work really late. I don't do well late. I get up early in the morning, you know, Saturday, Sunday, doesn't matter. I'm always up by 4. And I'll tell you what, and this may sound sappy, and if it does, tough shit. Every Saturday and Sunday at 6 in the morning, Fox News plays the national anthem. So at 6 on Saturday and Sunday, I'm standing in front of my TV. I'm not sitting there. You don't sit when the national anthem plays and they come on, you know, the Army band, the Navy band, somebody singing, et cetera, but it's always the national anthem. I think they should do it every week. But
I didn't know they even did that. Well,
yeah.
Bless you.
Well, that's 6 o'clock my time. I don't know what it is. I'll buy you.
I got it. That's fascinating. I didn't know that. Well, I certainly can see you doing that with no question. None.
Yeah.
Let me jump back. Go ahead.
Jump back.
I got my calculator. Now, are these all Don Angel's chapters we're talking about?
No.
Just all kinds of stuff.
Was a good part of it. That made up the first book, Hitler in Argentina, which, thank God, is a bestseller. Sold over 30,000 of those guys. But
really? Congratulations.
Yeah. Well,
I'm particularly partial to the cover, but other than
that. Yeah, I know. You helped, what the heck was his name? I can't remember.
David Dees,
yeah, right. The Nazi, according to the idiots at the Southern Poverty Law Center, the Spitlickers. Everybody they don't like is a Nazi.
It's true.
Right, yeah.
That's it. So, okay, 13 chapters in a book. Is that what you figure?
Yeah, this book's got 12 in it. Some have 15, so I just averaged out about 13, I'd say.
All right. 13 chapters times... How many chapters do you think you have in the offing there?
Well, right now there's... I've used probably about 100, so there's another 600.
All right, well, let's just do it easily. 600 divided by 13 equals 46 more books.
How many?
46 more.
I better get going.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're not going for this small procedure you're having next week. It's not that tranny doctor, is it?
No, that'll be the day. I don't have to worry about pronouns.
I know. God, I'm just having fun because it's so insane out there now. It's completely crazy.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
And my daughter, you know, she's a brilliant young lady. Got a master's degree, 32 years old. She's an executive with a big corporation, making just an insane amount of money. Her best girlfriend, they'd been friends for like 10 years, and they were roommates way back. And then my daughter, Megan, fell in love. She's moved in with this guy. They're going to get married. And the other girl, who's also Megan, she moved out about 2 years ago, got married. She just had a baby a couple of hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there was a lot of different pronouns you could use on the birth certificate. My daughter says, there's only two, he or she. That's it. And she's right. That's it. There's only two.
What they're doing is they're literally rebuilding our culture and our society with this shit. Excuse me. It's what it is.
Yeah.
It's just crap.
Right. Right.
And it's going to become the norm. That's how they do it. It's like repeating a lie. It doesn't matter. They're repeating this fiction that they're recreating our entire ethos, which is going to be gone soon.
I think I mentioned on your show once or twice before, but I know I've mentioned to other people, I learned my pronoun when my first day in the Air Force. We were at the induction center, and they give you a file folder, and you follow the green line to this office and do some work, and you follow a red line to another. And we were all standing, a bunch of recruits were standing shoulder to shoulder in a line, and the sergeant was coming by to each guy and say, do you like girls? Yes, sir. Do you like girls? Yes, sir. He got to me. He says, do you like girls? And that's when I learned my pronoun. I said, yes, sir. You're going to issue me a couple? He said, shut up, asshole. Get back in line. So that's my pronoun.
That's good. All right. Let's look at the page. Now, we've got It's a gallery. These are thumbnails, and we're going to walk through these. Let me just do the sales pitch. What has the response been to volumes 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 so far? What are you hearing?
Very strong, very strong. In volume 6, we sold, I forget how many dozen, pre-sold.
Pre-sold?
And it's finally out now. About, it came out about a week ago. So your listeners can go right to our website, sharkhunters.com. Go to shop, go to books, and it's there.
Very good. All right. Now, I got to ask you one other question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you running across people that you know or who you contact or communicate with who are still talking about getting these shots? They're getting ready to roll out another booster.
Yeah, that was some of the questions a nurse asked me today. Did you get a COVID shot? And I said, hell no, and I'm never going to get one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm planning to live another 26 years.
God.
My birthday is next month.
They're not quitting, are they? They're still pushing that crap.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. Fortunately, I'm my wife, my son, and I, we're in a situation where we don't have to bend our knee. You know, our daughter, my daughter, scared the shit out of me. She's, I'm sorry about the language. She's making an incredible salary, and about a year ago they told her, roll up your sleeve or hit the trail. So she took the shot, and thank God she's still very, very healthy, and I wanted to stay that way.
Megan?
So, Megan, yeah.
All right, I'm going to say, we'll talk later. You got to have a couple of things sent to her so she can take them every day. I
don't know about we'll talk after the show because I'm going to go look at the inside of my eyelids after being up since 3.
Tomorrow.
I did catch a one-hour nap.
Very good. Well, you deserve it. All right, we are going to, Todd, we're going to go through the music. Thank you. And keep going because we have a lot of things to cover here. You know, I was thinking about Todd the other day and all the programs he produces and puts on Global Star on the network. He learns a lot. He's hearing stuff all day long. Some of it's right, some of it's wrong, but what a catbird seat to be in to be collecting the latest information from the alt news world.
That's, right.
He must
He's
be
a
like
nice
an
guy. We talk for about 5 minutes before the show comes on. He calls me about 4 or 5 minutes before 9, and we talk for a while. And and then here we are.
Yeah, he's a real professional. I've been with Todd for a long time.
You've gone through some bumpy people, I remember.
What'd you say, Todd?
I said it's quite an education.
He said it is quite an education. He said, it is.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, very good. Let us proceed, ladies and gentlemen. And you are, wherever you are around the world, you are. It's so nice to have you here. We have fun every month with this. But more importantly, we learn the truth about that which has been stolen from us. Our past. The past. History, as they know it. All right, first picture, Maestro.
First picture is the front cover of the book. And, you know, if I can pat myself on the back, I'm especially proud of this one. I do all my covers, as you know. This one, I like the best of a lot of them. It came together very well. And all those people lived out their lives in South America, except Eichmann. He got kidnapped and he died in Israel, but he was living his life out in South America. So did Bormann, so did Mengele, so did Hitler.
Yes, he did. Now, the book, if you haven't gotten it and you're new to the program, Hitler in Argentina, it's simply a must. All right, there's 3 in that set. Get them all, but if you can't, just at least get Hitler in Argentina. It's phenomenal. It's unprecedented. It's the truth. And it has been consulted and ripped off by more than a few people.
Yeah. Bless their heart. They don't even give me a thank you note.
Nothing. Not even your initials. Nothing.
No, they just steal my book.
Yeah. Well, I remember working on it, and when I found out what was in it, I couldn't believe it. Yeah, yeah. That,
and it's all
that
backed
cover.
Up with fact, or I wouldn't have put it in there.
Right. The cover of the book, you'll see the big Junkers 390.
Yep, 390 V2.
And then you'll see a U-boat. You'll see a map of South America. You'll see a star where the Inalco estate was. Mm-hmm. And you'll see a nice picture of Hitler and Eva Braun. And those were all worked on. I worked on many of them, including the title. And we got it to where Harry was very happy with it. I moved Hitler and Eva Braun closer together than they were in the picture and made them. It's a very charming picture. The map of South America. There was no star on Inalco, so we put a star on it. We improved it. It came from David, and he did a wonderful job, but it got better and better. Yeah, it just got better.
He was very talented.
And the picture of the estate is right there.
Mm-hmm. And I took that photo.
By the way, yeah, I think you did. I don't know if you know, but we should probably just quickly mention that David should still be with us, but he was given what we now call a turbo cancer, untreatable, unresponsive. They took him out because they knew when they rolled out this shot stuff, he would have destroyed it with his art, his commentaries.
Oh, he was brilliant with his artwork.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And most people don't know that we worked together for years, and he'd send me a piece that he conceived, and he'd say, "What do you think?" Yeah, I'd say, "Well, I'd suggest this, 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 and this." And he'd adopt some of the changes. Some of these art pieces that I was very honored. He was the maestro, the genius. Some of the art was so good, it's timeless. And I've gone through and updated some of them. But he was like the original AI brain working on geopolitical art.
Yeah.
He was that good. So... anyway, very good, sir. The cover of the book is up there. It's picture number one. We urge you to go ahead and order it now. It is available and is being shipped. So there you go. That's a nice cover. Very nice cover. Okay.
And if people, well, it can go to the website and order it that way. But if they call here, not at this hour,
no.
at our phone number, which I'll give in a moment, then I will also add a 6-month membership in Shark Hunters at no charge.
Oh, that's damn nice. That's really nice.
Well, most of the people that get the 6-month free, they love it so much they, when the 6 months is up, they continue, renew it. So,
oh, yeah.
The number
is
area 352-637-2917. But don't
One
call
more time.
Now.
One more time.
352-637-2917. Keep your paper and pencil handy. We'll do it again later in the show.
All right. Picture number two is a table of contents, and most of you are able to look at that right now. Fascinating titles. 175 pages of material, almost 200 pages, I'm sure.
Well, it's a little over 200, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's move on to number three.
Number three. You'll notice that up in the upper right-hand corner, there's 1-1. That's my code. It tells me this is chapter one in the first picture. And chapter one talks about, my coffee's coming back at me, talks about the Third Reich in South America. The Third Reich did not die with the surrender. Incidentally, Germany never surrendered. It was the German military that surrendered, but the German government never did. So the war ain't over. But anyhow, this fellow is Erich Priebke. He was the one that Sam Donaldson outed, and we'll get to Sam in a few chapters yet. And he got sentenced to life in prison. The guy was 96 years old. Life in prison doesn't really carry much of a sting at that point. And so they let him live in a very nice apartment in Rome with two beautiful women as his carabinieri guards. And you'll notice the picture. He's in a supermarket. The hell of a... hell of an imprisonment. They let him walk freely in the park. He could go shopping. But he was down. He was a member of Shark Hunters, and had dinner with his son, which we'll see that picture in another chapter or two. And in that little town where he lived, San Carlos de Bariloche, which you click on number four, that's the way it looked when Hitler wound up there in 1945. Just a little ramshackle town. And then if you go to number five, that's the way it looks now. You get off the plane, it's where you landed in Bavaria.
Oh, it's a town of 200,000?
It's big now, 150,000, 200,000. It's a huge tourist mecca because it's right on the shore of that huge lake, Nahuelhuapi, and at the foothills of the Andes. So you got skiing, you got fishing, you got water sports. It's a huge tourist area. And I understand from your webmaster, Norberto, you got to pay $6. I guess that's a day, I don't know, $6 for a tourist tax if you're not an Argentinian. And apparently...
Wow.
They're not sure the tax is going where it's supposed to go, but that...
Oh, that's always the way it is. Always the way it is. Whenever there's a flow, a stream of money, you got all kinds of hands in it. That he was just down there. Yeah.
Yeah, I know he was. I was born and raised in Chicago. You're not going to tell me those politicians are crooks, are you? The money's not going to the museums and stuff, is it? Oh, my goodness, I'm shocked.
Argentina...
Yeah. I was going to say, I won't even go back to Chicago, not even to visit my son's grave.
You can't go home again. You can't.
No.
There's no truer words ever spoken.
They're shooting at cars on the interstate going by. They're just shooting at everybody and anybody, and I don't want to end up dead.
It's dissolving into third world trash. Fourth world.
Yeah, any of these big liberal-run cities, they're going to hell in a handbasket.
Communists are taking it all down, and I don't see any big... serious pushback yet, and I don't
expect to see it. And they keep raising taxes. That's going to solve the problem. Raise the taxes. No. Get more cops. Enforce the law. Get some prosecutors that will hold people accountable and stick them in jail.
You're talking about rooting out Bolshevik communists who are about as deeply ingrained in that whole political spectrum as you're going to see. It's just horrible.
Yeah.
So it's bad. Argentina's having some real serious political trouble. The communists are making a big move in that country. However, in the upcoming presidential election, I understand that there's a populist candidate who is sort of being talked about in the same way that Trump used to be talked about here as maybe a people's savior. I don't know how much longer he'll live if he's actually trying to shake things up. It's like Bolsonaro in Brazil. They got rid of him because he was too independent. So, but... Argentina, if it were run and it was a stable country, I'd move there. It's that beautiful, especially down
when
in the
World
south
War
where Bariloche is.
Argentina was wealthier and more stable and more economically solid than the United States.
I believe it.
It was a beautiful country. Well, it still is a beautiful country, but I mean it was well run. Now. Inflation is 109%. How do you live with that? You can't.
You don't. No, you
and
don't.
I've been told by some of my Argentine friends that Argentina is a powder keg, and I hope nobody comes along with a match. It's
gotcha.
A beautiful country. I really like it. Buenos Aires is called the Paris of the South. Magnificent city. But the government... What can I say?
It's gone communist.
Anyhow.
What do you say? It just has. And
they
buy their way in. They bribe.
That place.
They blackmail the Chinese.
Report, they had 100,000 troops on Antarctica, and they're pressuring Argentina into building a Chinese base in the town of Ushuaia, which is as far south as you can go in South America, that they can support their people in Antarctica. Also, we reported, it must have been 6 months ago, about a Chinese radar radio, whatever, Snoop station on top of a mountain down there in southern Patagonia. They're everywhere. Every place you go, you can't buy anything except made in China, and that for every country in the world. These people in China, right. the government, they're just rolling in money.
Is it true what you just said? I've not heard this. 100,000 military, PLA in the Antarctic? 100,000? Did I hear you
100,000, right? 100,000, that's the report I'm getting from some of our active spooks.
That's a shock. 100,000 People's Liberation Army troops in Antarctica. That's
yeah, 100,000
wow.
people, that's like, 10 divisions?
It's about, yeah.
Well, remember, my colleague, who shall go nameless because she's still living in hiding, she and I were going to go to Antarctica. We were going to put together an expedition. We went to Monte Carlo because she was close with the family there, the royal family, and we had everything all set. The prince was going to let us use his yacht, which is the size of a cruiser, and we had everything all lined up. I came back to America. Next thing I know, secret police or somebody beat the hell out of her, killed her little dog, and she's been on the run ever since. She's back to Europe.
Sad. I remember counseling you not to go down there. Just forget it. It's too dark.
Well, I don't have a choice now. We got kicked out of the planning.
Yeah. I know. There's a lot going on down there, a lot.
Oh, there sure is. Well, we've done shows on it, too, with some of the flyover photos I had.
Yep.
So,
all right, back to our pictures.
Number six.
Number six. That looks like one of Jeffrey Epstein's friends.
I was going to say this is not really an escaped war criminal, but then I guess that depends on your definition. There were at least four American presidents went down there. There's this magnificent resort called Shao Shao. It's spelled LLAO-LLAO. How you get Shao Shao out of that is anybody's guess, but that's what it's called down there. And Eisenhower was there during his presidency. Clinton was there during his presidency. So was Jimmy Carter. I didn't have a picture of that. And this picture, I didn't take it, but it's taken down there in Argentina, and he was at Chow Chow. And the next one is what's his name, Barry, the gay guy from Kenya.
Didn't he go down there too? Yes,
he was there.
Of course he did. That's
so
that's him.
At least four
and
presidents.
That's him. Him and Big Mike, and
yep.
That's in Chow Chow.
That is right. That's correct.
And so, why did they go down there, ladies and gentlemen? We'll tell you in a minute. But think about this: why would they go to the end of the world, so to speak? It's a beautiful place. But why would they go down there? Why would four presidents make a formal presidential visit down there and call it a vacation? That's all they ever said about it.
Well, also,
if they said
John
anything.
Kerry, when he was Secretary of State,
Secretary of State.
Down there, too.
Yeah. All right, here's what they did. Now, I'll let Harry tell the story, but they went down to sign something, to renew something, okay? Go ahead.
My name is Rabbit. I live in the woods, and I don't know nothing.
Okay. We'll leave it at that.
When I'm in Germany, mein Name ist Hasse, ich lebe in der Wald, und ich kenne nicht.
Right.
I'll be Sergeant Schultz in this one.
Good.
I see nothing. All right. I hear nothing.
Well,
but
let me just
know what
it is. Yeah, let me just stop there, because it's not really relevant. It's a very important document that came out of World War II, as it were. And it's still in effect, okay? And I'll tie in also the 1952 overflight over Washington, D.C. by a couple of dozen lighted UFOs. You've all seen the pictures over the years. Those UFOs have a relationship to whatever kind of an agreement these four presidents and the Secretary of State Kerry went down there to sign.
Yeah, I hope people from the Rick Stacy show are listening. I tipped them off what we're going to talk about. It's a right-wing radio show out of Orlando, and trying to help them along with what they're revealing too.
Good. Well, there's a lot more going on here than we're going to get into tonight. But if you read the books, Hitler in Argentina and the other two in that set, and read these books, The Hidden History, you'll come away with a pretty good understanding. Still a big deal.
Yeah, and they're all there on the on our website. And like I say, anybody who wants to call us, 352-637-2917. You want to order any of our books over the phone, you get a 6-month membership free, and you get your magazine that way online.
Yeah.
And it's
great
full of stuff, too.
Yeah, wonderful. All right, so there you go.
Right.
There are two presidents of the four that went down there. And, I should also mention that in 1954, Dwight Eisenhower, to the best of my ability, did in fact meet with extraterrestrial life forms that had a ship, and they landed at, I guess it was Edwards Air Force Base out there in Lancaster, and he flew up there from Palm Springs, and the excuse was he had to go to the dentist. But he flew up there. This was witnessed, and people have talked about it. So that was another agreement, a signed agreement, or some kind of an agreement with a different very powerful force on the planet. So
yeah, that's covered heavily
on
in our book, Space, the Final Frontier, which was actually written by Clark McClellan, who was a senior engineer with NASA for 35 years. And unfortunately for him, he was trying to tell the story, and they fired him and took away his pension, and he died penniless in an assisted living home. He had been reduced to living in an old beat-up house trailer in a 1950s-style trailer park. And then he wound up in an assisted living place, and he just gave up and died. I was there to visit him about 6 months before he died. But that book is incredible. The things that they saw on the NASA monitors, you know, they were watching two of the astronauts work in the cargo bay, and all of a sudden there's a 9-foot-tall guy in there with them. And that was on for about 3 or 4 seconds before somebody hit the dump button, but everybody in NASA saw it.
Right. And if you'll notice in that recreation of that picture, the 9-foot-tall guy has a very small head compared to what it could have been. And they're known as, I think, the small heads. We've had guests on the program talking about that particular group before. And
there's stuff in that book that rock your socks, but it's proven. People saw it. Some of the astronauts were forced to retire early, and there were weird suicides. He was supposed to meet with another scientist coming up from Miami, and Clark was going down from Merritt Island. And they were supposed to meet. Well, this other scientist never showed up. He had pulled into a public parking lot and got out and opened his trunk, and there was a hose in there, just happened to fit on his tailpipe, and he ran it into his car and sat there and died from the carbon monoxide. Who the hell carries around a hose in the trunk of their car that fits their tailpipe?
Hey, so many things. I knew Clark for over 20 years and had him on the program 20 years ago. I don't know how many hundreds of calls that we had and information shared over the years, but especially in the last several years of his life. That's a whole story in and of itself.
Yeah, that's another show.
I got hold of the manuscript, and it was before I sent it to you, I told you how it was needing desperately to be edited, and you did it magnificently.
Boy.
You really did a job on it. And that's what Clark
wanted. I had to go through that book word by word 4 times to get it.
Right.
I mean, he kept changing the text and the font size and type, paragraph to paragraph.
He first gave it to
me. Brilliant man, but he never should have been allowed near a computer.
No. He gave it to me with the proviso that I publish it. And I don't have the time. So I got it to you, and you did it. Thank God. And you did it right.
Yeah, Clark was really happy about it. I brought a copy to him. They moved him from Florida. He used to live about 40 miles from me. They moved him from here to Pennsylvania to that assisted living facility, so I brought a copy up there and gave it to him. He was almost ready to cry.
Right. Well, there's so much more to that story, too, that we can't really talk about.
Yeah.
But... All right, number 8.
Yep.
What is that strange concrete wall with those strange holes in it? What is that?
Yeah.
I know, but what is that?
Yeah. We never figured out what those holes were for, but that's part of the nuclear research laboratory built, and we'll talk about that a few chapters up.
Well, there's a tip-off at the top of the picture, Harry. There's still some of the holes with their original, whatever they were, pieces of steel stuck in them. You can see.
Steel or wood? I don't
Not
remember.
Sure. Probably wood, but I don't know.
And, yeah, part of the laboratory that was built, a nuclear research laboratory built by German scientists. Okay, they were Austrian, but Austrian and German are the same people back in those days. 2 years after the end of the war. 2 years after the war ended, these guys are there building a nuclear research facility, and that's in our book, Space, the Final Frontier. It's in a couple of the other books, but
you see the guy who has walked up, and on the left is an explanatory sign about the structure, and he's looking in through what looks like a big hole blown through the wall. I don't know what that's about. It looks like it was blown out.
We couldn't find anybody that I can find out if I really need to chase into that, because the previous director of the Argentine Atomic Energy Commission, or whatever it's called, Dr. Mariscotti, he's a good friend of mine down there. And, the man, just incredibly brilliant. And so he knows everything about it. He even wrote a little book called The Secrets of Huemul Island, H-E-U-M-U-L, Huemul Island, The Secrets of Huemul Island. So
I would put him on your calendar and chase him down and say, look, we don't want to take this with us. Can we get it recorded? I won't release it until, 20 years hence or whatever. But give him some assurances. We need to know more about this. And it's also go ahead.
As soon as I get down there again, I'm going to film an interview with him. I'm trying to get clearance from the Argentine Navy. I've got one thing to chase down in Paraguay, which is already green-lighted, but the Argentine Navy, there's two things. One, when I was there in 2008, they let me see all the papers that were taken off those two submarines that surrendered down there, U-530 and 977. Told me I could come back anytime I want and copy them. So, okay, I want to come back and copy them, but I'm trying to get this captain's permission, and he ain't responding. And the other one is, as you've seen in the magazine, we've had drawings of the Type 21 German U-boat they chased down in Golfo Nuevo, and those drawings were sketches were made from photographs. But the photographs are locked up in their archives, and I'm trying to get permission to go look at the photographs, but they're not replying. So if I get clearance on that, I'll be on a plane tomorrow.
Yeah, it looks like that wall has been blown out, frankly. I don't know why, but
could be.
It doesn't look like a doorway, that's for sure.
No.
Solid
Anyhow, that's
brick.
All
look at the bricks on the
stuff.
Wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at the bricks on the wall. The wall was made of bricks and it covered with concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
like
very
that.
Good. By the way, why would the Germans have erected a nuclear research laboratory down there on that remote island in Lake Nahuapi? Because they had already achieved nuclear bomb status. That's me talking. I'm not speaking for Harry. But I firmly believe that Hitler had the atomic bomb, could have used it, was either threatened, if you dare use it, we will level Germany from one end to the other, whatever. He had the A-bomb, he didn't use it. And in U-234, as we've mentioned before, there were 780 kilograms,
560 kilos.
Kilos.
560 kilos of uranium.
Uranium oxide, yeah.
We're not sure it was oxide.
Whatever. We think it may have been used.
Might have been refined.
Might have been refined and used in our second nuclear bomb that we used on the Japanese.
No. The first one. Hiroshima. Not Hiroshima, like the liberals will like to pronounce it. Hiroshima, because that was a uranium bomb, and Nagasaki
the other was
a plutonium bomb. Yeah.
Right.
That was my career field in the Air Force, and I joined the Air Force 12 years after the war ended, so it was pretty fresh stuff. And we learned all the prehistory, and we got a lot of our nuclear weaponry from Germany, including Dr. Schlicke, who became a member of Shark Hunters. He was the guy in charge of the Trinity project.
He was on 234.
Yeah.
They had a brain trust on that submarine. It was the biggest submarine that the Germans ever built. They made 10 of them or something like that. There are only two left at that time, and this was one of them. Then it was sunk by the Americans after.
There was a Type 10B. Had been a mine layer, but they took out the mine tubes, made it a cargo boat. They had an ME-262 jet fighter aboard in crates with all the technological data for the Japanese to build them, and had a Luftwaffe lieutenant general and his staff, and they had a fleet judge. They were going to try all the traitors in Tokyo, but the war ended. I mean, the surrender order came while they were at sea. They had two Japanese scientists on board who committed suicide because Japan was still at war with the United States, and they couldn't stand the shame of being surrendered when Fowler was the skipper when he surrendered the boat in the U.S. I spent a whole day with Fowler in his home in Hamburg. What a brilliant guy, and he told me a lot about that mission.
Let me read this real quick summary of what was on that boat. 300 tons of cargo. There were, according to this report, there were three complete Messerschmitt aircraft. A Henschel HS-293, a glider bomb. That was the Germans had the first glide bombs. They had them.
Yeah, it was a smart bomb. It was called a Fritz X.
That's right. And it went out on a long wire, like miles long, and they could control it, and they flew it right into the Italian Navy at one point. I remember they sunk the Italian Navy. Junkers jet engines, 10 canisters containing 1,235 pounds of uranium each. They're calling it uranium oxide here, U-235. Other cargo consisted of 1 ton of diplomatic mail, 6,615 pounds of technical material, 6,000 pounds, including drawings of the ME-163 Comet, the 262 jet, plans for the building of aircraft factories, V-1 and V-2 weapons, naval ships, destroyers of the classes 36C and Z-51, etc., that the German Navy had a few of. And all kinds of different submarine types. They were giving Japan literally the brains of their entire military in that.
They were hoping Japan would be able to turn the tide against the Americans, because the Allies weren't fighting so much in the Pacific. That was pretty much the Americans. And the Americans were the ones who were maintaining the war in Europe. Because if it hadn't been for the U.S., England would have been overrun in no time, clearing my throat, getting another cup of coffee here.
All right, you go take a break. Hold on. Finish up real quick. We'll break.
Yeah, okay. If it hadn't been for the U.S. and the Japanese were supposed to be able to turn the tide and stop the Americans, but the war was so far gone by that time, there was no turning back.
I mean, the Americans got all this material and lots more, of course, but they got this whole submarine with all those people and all that equipment. They had bomb sites. They had everything, fire control, computers.
They had all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. All right. Hold on. Harry and I will be right back with hour two for you in just a few minutes.